So, we're going to do tonight same thing we did last night. We'll start off with a little bit of meditation and to calm our mind, make the transition between running around all day and doing something a little bit more serious. And then I'll speak for a little while. We'll continue on with the text from where we left off last night. And then afterwards we'll have questions and maybe some answers. The answers I don't agree that we'll definitely have, but at least questions we'll have, okay? And let's take a moment to cultivate our motivation. And so coming back to understanding the fortunate situation that we have right now. Everything we have going for us in our lives. Having food and shelter, clothing and medicine, living in a country that's peaceful where we have access to Dharma teachings, to the monastic community, to Dharma friends. We have all the conducive circumstances to be able to practice the path and make our life very meaningful by preparing for our future life, by progressing along the path to liberation and enlightenment, and by transforming our mind each moment, making our life into the path to enlightenment. So we have so much fortune and so much opportunity. And it's important to make use of it and not squander it. Because with each moment that's going by, our life is getting shorter. And we can't press a rewind button and relive our life or gain more time. So it's important each moment to really be awake, to bring love and compassion and wisdom into our lives so that we practice the Buddha's teachings every possible moment that we can. Because it's the Buddha's teachings that will enable our lives to become very meaningful. So understanding this, let's set a very strong intention to really make our life meaningful by generating the bodhicitta motivation, the aspiration for full enlightenment, so that we can benefit all beings most effectively. So really put what we're about to do in that context, our long-term vision of attaining enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. And then slowly open your eyes. Come out of your meditation. So last night I was talking a little bit about bodhicitta, this aspiration for enlightenment, and how it arises from great love and great compassion. Love being the wish for beings to have happiness in its causes, and compassion, the wish for sentient beings to be free of suffering in its causes. And so to generate the bodhicitta, one of the principal things we need to do is to reduce our self-preoccupation, our self-centeredness, the mind that is thinking, me, I'm the most important one in the whole wide world. You know that mind? Okay, so in order to get anywhere spiritually, we have to subdue that mind. And even to be happy in this lifetime, we've got to stop being so preoccupied with ourselves. You know, I come to Singapore once a year. This year it's twice a year. And I see lots of people, you know, and some people I see each year when I come. And each year when I talk to them, they tell me their problems. And it's the same problem as the previous year, which was the same problem as the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. And each year I give them the same advice. And then next time I come, they still have the same problem. So I wonder if they try practicing the advice or not. Yeah? Because sometimes our self-centeredness works in such a way that we get a real charge off of having a problem. Okay, you know what I mean? When we have a problem, somehow we feel very important. People have to listen to us. And we make them listen to us whether they want to or not, you know, as we tell them our problem. Okay. And so sometimes I think we seem to suffer a lot from our problem, but when we get some good advice about how to stop it, we don't follow the advice. And I'm not sure if we're really wanting to stop our problem or not. Or if somehow we're comfortable having our problem. You know what I mean? It's like if you have a problem, you know who you are. Very strange way to form an identity, but we sure do it, don't we? Yeah? And so we just form these identities, we have these problems, we go through our life every year, same thing. Every day, same thing. We're miserable, but we don't change. Who's doing is that? Why don't we change? Why don't we do something to stop our problem? Okay? This comes because of the self-centered mind. You know, just spinning around me and my problem and how everybody doesn't treat me right. Okay? You know that one? Yeah? People just don't treat me right, la. Okay. I'm so sweet. I'm so good-natured. I'm very kind. But my family, oh, they just don't appreciate. They treat me so mean. My colleagues talk behind my back. Nobody listens to me. I have so many problems because other people aren't very nice to me. Right? We all have the same story, don't we? You know, just different varieties. But our basic complaint is that other people don't treat me so well. Don't you think so? Couldn't other people treat you a little bit better? Don't you think? Yeah? Don't you want your parents to treat you a little bit better? Or your kids to treat you better? Your boss definitely should treat you better. And if you're a boss, your employees should treat you better. Yeah. So we're always thinking that all of our problems, all of our dissatisfaction, it's somebody else's fault. And if only they would change, then my problem would stop. Okay? And I think that's part of the reason why we have the same problem year after year, is we attribute the problem to somebody else. And since we can't control them, then we just say, well, okay, I have this problem. And it's all their fault. I'm this innocent victim. There's nothing I can do about it except throw myself a pity party. Yeah, remember last night we talked about pity party? Poor me. Poor me. The world doesn't treat me right. You know? And we throw our little pity party and feel sorry for ourselves, complain about how other people mistreat me, and we do nothing to change our own mind or our own behavior. Sometimes we're pretty stupid, don't you think? Yeah. We expect other people to change. Can we control other people? No. We can't control them at all, can we? Can you make somebody else do something? Not really. Okay. The one thing that we do have some sway over is our own mind. But do we try and change our own mind to change our problem? No. We just keep saying it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. Okay. So that kind of attitude's not going to change anything. We're just going to keep feeling sorry for ourselves, keep moaning about the same problem. You know what I did at a retreat this last year? Because whenever we do retreats, you know, then people sometimes really tend to get stuck in their problem. You know, you're trying to meditate on the breath, you're trying to say mantra, all you do is think, poor me, all these people don't treat me right. And you get angry at them. Same problem. So what I had everybody in the retreat do is write their problem on a piece of paper. Okay? We put all the problems in a basket and then move the basket, circulated the basket around the room, and you had to pick a problem that was somebody else's problem. And whenever you started to get distracted in your meditation, instead of obsessing about your own problem, you were supposed to obsess about the new problem that you had. Okay, do you get what I mean? So you weren't allowed anymore to moan and groan about your problem, but now you were supposed to sit there and ruminate and worry about somebody else's problem. Well, you know what? People got bored very quickly. Yeah, other people's problems, worrying about their problems, not very interesting. Yeah, but my problem, oh, so such a terrible problem. We can spin around that one for years and years, making ourselves miserable. But it's a very good antidote. Try this sometime, yeah? Whenever you start moaning about your problem, instead, make yourself think about somebody else's problem, okay? If you're worried about your family, pretend that you live in Darfur and worry about a family in Darfur who doesn't have any food to eat, okay? See if you can worry about that family all day long the same way as you worry about your own family. When you're moaning about your job, oh, I don't like my job, my boss is so terrible, my employees don't listen to me, Okay. Then instead think of somebody who doesn't have a job and worry about them and their family. There's lots of people that don't have jobs. When you're worried, when you're, you know, angry or aggravated at something your family member is doing, then think about somebody who doesn't have a family and worry about their problem. We have a cat at the Abbey. Okay, our cat's name is Manjushri. Yeah. And Manjushri, he likes to be fed in the middle of the night. Okay, no matter what time you feed him during the day, if you feed him right before you go to bed, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, meow, meow, he wants to eat. So there's one person in the house who he always goes to and wakes her up to be fed. Okay, yeah, kind of like that baby, you know, crying in the middle of the night, feed me, feed me. Okay, so so Nancy, who was having to get up in the middle of the night to feed Manjushri, was getting pretty exasperated by it. And one other person who lived at the Abbey said, well, maybe think about it, because one day he's not going to be here to complain to you in the middle of the night. And she realized, oh, that's true. One day he will have died and there won't be a kitty to wake me up in the middle of the night. And she really loves this kitty. And she told me a story about, because this thing with Manjushri made her remember one day when her dad, because her dad lived on the other side of the U.S., so they were 3 hours later, so he would forget that, and he would call when it was morning time there, but maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning where she was, and her dad's phone call would wake her up, and she would get kind of mad at him, like, Dad, you know, don't you realize you need to call me later and not wake me up because I'm sleeping? And then her housemate said to her, you know, Nance, one day your dad's not going to be there. And so she changed her mind about it. And later when he kept calling and waking her up, she stopped complaining because she realized that having her father in her life was very precious, and he wasn't always going to be there. So even if he called at inconvenient times and woke her up, it was sure better than not having her father at all. Okay? So what I'm saying is that many of the people that we complain about as being the causes of our problems, think about it. Yeah? Because one day they may not be there. And how are you going to feel when they're not in your life anymore? Okay. If you fast forward your life and look back, pretend you're in the future, 10 years or 20 years, look back on your life now from the viewpoint of what will have happened then. And let's say this person, this family member who's bothering you now, has died in 10 years or 20 years. How are you going to feel then, looking back on now, when you're spending so much of your time now being mad at them and being nasty to them? How are you going to feel about your behavior now? Are you going to look back from the future and say, wow, you know, this person was in my life then, but I never really tried to make a good relationship with them. Instead, I just complained about them and criticized them and talked bad about them behind their back and yelled at them to their face or refused to talk to them at all. you know. So think of that person no longer being in your life. And how are you going to feel about your behavior to them now? Okay? This is something important to think about, because if you do, you will make more effort now to have a good relationship with them. And by doing so, you will have much more happiness now. And then 10 years from now, you won't have so much regret and so much of a guilty feeling for treating them badly now. Okay? But when we just say, oh, it's the other person's fault, they're so mean, they're so nasty, they have to change, and after they change, then I'll start being nice to them. As long as you think that, who are you hurting? You're hurting yourself, aren't you? Yeah, as long as you think, oh, it's their fault, they need to change. I'm not going to be nice to you. You're not nice to me. You know, we're like 3-year-olds sometimes, aren't we? Especially to the people we get married to, or to our parents, or, you know, our brothers and sisters. But instead of behaving like 3-year-olds, why don't we just, you know, appreciate having that person in our life right now and try being nice to them? And if we're nice to them, you know what? They might change how they feel towards us, and they might start being nice to us. But as long as we keep saying, you have to change first, well, maybe they're feeling the same way. Then nothing changes. We all remain miserable. And then when somebody dies, we're filled with guilt and remorse. Yeah? Doesn't make much sense, does it? Yeah? It's much better to try and improve your relationships now. And for those of you who have children, yeah, it's really, really important to improve your relationships with your family members, because otherwise you're teaching your children how to act towards their family members. Okay? Because kids don't just listen to what their parents say. They watch what their parents do. So if as a parent you are complaining about your brothers and sisters all the time, then you are teaching your children to complain about each other when they're adults. Okay? You're telling your children to not be harmonious, because you're setting that example of complaining about your siblings. Okay? If you just criticize your parents and complain about your parents, you're teaching your children to complain about you. And they will. Okay? If you aren't nice to your husband or your wife, if you're always fighting with your parents, with your children's other parent, yeah, always fighting and criticizing the person you're married to, you're teaching your children to have unhappy relationships and to always quarrel with the people that they marry and the people in their family. Is this what you want to teach your children? Okay? So really think about it, because how you act towards your husbands, your wives, your parents, your children, that is exactly what you're teaching your children to do. And really think, look at your behavior and think, do I want my children to act like me? Do I want my children to have the kind of relationships I have with family members? Because if you don't, then you need to start changing how you treat your family members, because you've got to set a better example for your kids. Yeah. So don't count on just teaching your kids with what you say. You have to teach your kids with what you do. My parents used to say, do what I say, not as I do. But it didn't work. Yeah. Because kids, we're smart when we're kids. We watch what our parents do. Okay? And often we copy our parents' bad mistakes. So if you're a parent, don't teach your kid your bad habits. Okay? So all of these kinds of problems, they come because of our self-centered mind. Because we're just thinking, me, and I'm so important, and why do I have to apologize? You apologize first. You know, we're just thinking about ourselves. Yeah? And by doing that, we actually become quite unhappy. When we open our heart and we start looking at other people and cherishing others and taking care of them, then our own mind becomes much more relaxed, much more peaceful. And when I talk about cherishing others, I don't mean worrying about them. I'm not talking about being a parent who minds all the business of their children. That's not taking care of your kids. That's not cherishing your kids. That's being a busybody. Okay? Worrying about your kids. Oh, are they doing this? Are they doing that? Oh, I'm so worried. How are they doing on their exam? That's not cherishing your kids. That's driving them crazy. Yeah? Think about it. Didn't it drive you nuts when your parents worried about you? Didn't you just want them like, Mom, Dad, leave me alone, relax. Yeah? And they're always there. Oh, did you eat enough? Did you sleep enough? Did you study enough? No, you didn't study enough. Sit down and study more. Yeah. That's not helping your kids. Okay? So we really have to understand what cherishing people means. Yeah, it doesn't mean worrying about them and harping on them and becoming a drill sergeant. Okay? Yeah. Sometimes I watch parents and I think the parents must have trained in the army. You know? Because all they do is shout orders to their kids. Yeah. Come on, time to get up. Yeah, you feel like you're in the army. Okay, why are you sleeping? You're sleeping too late. Get up. Wash your face. Time for breakfast. Sit down. Stop playing with your food. Eat your food. Time to go to school. Get up. Come on, you're late. Really, they sound like drill sergeants in the army. Yeah, and I think it would be very interesting for those parents to watch, to keep have a little notebook, and mark down every time you say an order to your child and every time you say a whole sentence to your child and see what you say more of. Yeah, do you give them more orders or do you actually talk to them? Yeah. Do you ever ask your child at the end of the day, how was your day? What did you learn? Or are you sitting there already, oh, you got home from school, why are you late? You're 10 minutes late. Were you playing? Sit down and study right now. No, you cannot watch TV. Study now. Stop dawdling. Stop looking around in space. Study. You know, I mean, command after command after command. Yeah. How does your child feel? Oy, poor kids. Yeah. What about asking your kid, how was your day? How are your friends? What did you learn today? You know, talk to your child. Learn, get to know what your child thinks. Yeah, if you're more relaxed, your kid might be more relaxed and they might study better. Okay, but try talking to your children instead of just ordering them around. Okay. But you see what I'm getting at is we have to really think what cherishing somebody else means and what caring for somebody else means. Okay? Really think about it. Yeah? Do you want your children to do good on their exams, or do you want them to be happy? Which is more important? Okay? Which is more important? If they're happy, does that mean they're going to do bad on their exams? No. They might actually be happy, do better on their exams if they're happy. Yeah. So really think, you know, how to create a happy family. How can my behavior change to create more happiness in my family and my workplace? Yeah. So think about it and try really caring about the other people. And see what happens. See if things change when you do. Okay, so, yeah, this self-centered attitude, this one that keeps us bound in all these problems, this is the mind that we're trying to subdue, that we're trying to eliminate so that we can have happiness now, and so that we can progress along the path to enlightenment.